I want to tell you a story that is amazing and incredible and historical and true, and it's a story that is very ancient. You may have heard some of this story and not connected some dots. This is the story of the first ever shepherd. The first ever shepherd. It's in the deep, deep past. This story comes from before books, before paper was invented. It's before letters and alphabets. It's before reading and writing were invented. Imagine a time long ago. We're talking the deep, deep past, between 5 and 6,000 years ago. We're talking about a time when the climate was different, and archaeologists and historians can show us that the climate was so different at that time that the Sahara Desert was covered in grass. Modern Iraq and Iran on the screen were wet places, verdant, full of animal life. And this story, which is so ancient, comes from a region known as Mesopotamia. Heard that? Meso means between. Potamos, Potamia, means rivers. This comes from an ancient land which is the birthplace of human civilization called Mesopotamia, an ancient land between two rivers which is now its modern Iraq. And this is the story of the first ever shepherd. Because about 5,500 years ago, something changed radically for humans. Something changed so radically that it was actually the invention of the modern world. Do you know what it was? It was shepherding. There was a great change that occurred because at first, and the Bible records this too, the Bible records that at first human beings moved around. They wandered around. And as they moved around, they followed the seasons and the food and they hunted the animals. But then someone invented something new, and you know the person's name. Someone invented this thing called shepherding. Do you know what his name was? Abel. Abel discovered something different. Abel discovered that we don't have to always move around hunting for animals. Instead, somehow or other, this ancient person recorded in the book of Genesis, he discovered that you could raise sheep as a part of your family. And you could live with them, and they could live with you. This is a true story. So he invented this new profession, an ancient profession. It's called shepherding. And everything changed because Abel was different. Abel lived with the sheep, and the sheep lived with him. He cared for the sheep. He fed them. He found them the best grass, the best feed. He provided for them. He slept out in the fields with them. And he actually defended them from danger and from animals. And Abel was the first person to do this, the first shepherd. And this completely changed everything about human life. No longer were they hunters and gatherers, now they were shepherds. And so Abel, he was good. Abel's way of life was beautiful. And God was pleased with Abel's way of life. Genesis chapter 4 records that Abel went and took some of his produce to God, and God blessed it. And God affirmed it, and God was pleased. It says God was pleased with Abel's way of life, because Abel's way of life was simple. It was harmonious and it was gracious. And God blessed the way of the first ever shepherd. And ever since, the idea of shepherding has been an idea of goodness. Loving the land which gives you its produce and food, and caring for the land as the land cares for you. But Abel had a brother. What was his name? Cain. Yeah, this is the true story of the first shepherd, but also the other brother invented some new things too. Cain invented two things. He invented systematic farming, which I think is a good thing, and he invented something else. It's right there in the Bible, and we don't notice it because we don't read it. What did he invent? Cities. Cain invented the city. He built the first ever city. And so Cain's name means possessor. Just think about that for a moment. His name means someone who gets, who wants, who's always wanting to possess things. And so Cain had a different way of life. He modified the land. He built things, he changed things. He built dams and culverts and roads and irrigation and fields and silos. And then he built walls and fortresses and a palace and a city fed by the fields. And so Cain invents this different way of life. This is literally now modern archaeologists, they affirm this is the story of the human race. Somewhere in Mesopotamia around 5,500 years ago, human beings invented this new way of life. And this new way of life had cities that were fed by fields. And the cities were greedy and hungry and just consumed everything around them. Everything flowed into the city. The cities didn't care about the seasons around them. They didn't care about nature around them. They just pillaged and raped and took whatever they could as the cities grew, and they were filthy and dirty and grubby. This is the ancient civilization of Sumer that the Bible's talking about here. And Cain's way of life was about getting, 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 getting. Always wanting more. Never satisfied. He was always in want. He always wanted more roads, more silos, more slaves to till those fields and feed these big crazy cities. And in Genesis chapter 4, it says Cain brought some of his produce to God too. Why did Cain do that? Because Cain's name means possessor, wanter, getter, someone who always wants more. Cain saw that it worked for Abel, and he thought, I want what God can give me. Cain didn't bring something to God to say thank you. Cain didn't bring something to God to celebrate God's goodness. Cain brought something to God to get something back. He thought, if I give something to God, God will give me stuff back, which is exactly how he was running the cities. Was God pleased with Cain's offering? God was not. God was not pleased with someone who came to him to get something back. Someone who didn't come just to love God, just for who God is, but someone who was trying to get. A wanter, a grabber, a taker, a possessor. God did not bless that. And so Cain got upset with Abel, and what happened? The first ever shepherd in history got killed for being good. And this is a prophecy. The first ever shepherd who symbolized goodness was killed. And it's a symbol of another shepherd that would come thousands of years later who would also be killed for being good. So, you need to know this story to get a feel for the Bible and a feel for shepherds, because you don't need to know everything about shepherding. I've worked on a sheep farm. I've lived in the rough and tumble with sheep. You don't need to know everything about sheep, and you don't need to know everything about farming or shepherding to know this one thing. This is what you need to know when you read the 23rd Psalm. Shepherd means goodness. You need to know the story of Abel, the first shepherd, and all the shepherds that followed him. Shepherds live with sheep. And throughout ancient history and throughout the Bible, the word shepherd always meant kind, it meant wise, it meant humble, it meant simplicity, it meant harmony, and everyone loved the word shepherd. And so we read ancient Sumerians, they called Shamash the shepherd of the world. King Hammurabi, he called himself the shepherd of the people. He wasn't a shepherd. He was a tyrant. But he used the word shepherd to look good, right? If you can call someone shepherd. And shepherd always meant kindness. And then 3,000 years ago, about 1,000 BC, a new nation appeared on the face of the earth. What was this nation called? Israel. Israel looked around and they said, we want a king. We want someone that we can call shepherd. And so they went to God and they said, give us a king, give us a king. And God finally gave up and let them have a king whose name was Saul. And you know what? It records in the Bible that they called their first king Saul. 2 Samuel chapter 5, they called him shepherd of Israel. But was he like a shepherd? Was he kind? Did he live on the same level as his people, as the sheep? No. He was a right, you know what? Saul was bad. And so the people of Israel said, this isn't working out very well. We want a better king. And so the people of Israel crowned a shepherd boy their king. Take two. See if we can get it right second time. What was the name of the shepherd boy? David. David was a kid, just a child. But he lived with the sheep, with the animals. He slept out under the stars. He defended the animals from wolves and lions, literally. Yes, there were lions in the Middle East, in that fertile part of the world back then. They're extinct there now. David was a kind, peaceful, wise kid. He was such a good shepherd that the Bible says that he was like the first shepherd, whose name was again? Abel. The Bible says he was such a good shepherd, this kid David, that he was a man after God's own heart. So, the people of Israel said, take two, let's get a better king who can really act like a shepherd. And so they crowned him, they put him on a throne, they had great procession, and they went to call him shepherd of Israel. And what was David's response? No, David's the new king. And he says, no. You know, stop right there. You're not calling me shepherd. You can't call me that. No, that's been your mistake all along. He says, no way, absolutely not, never. I am not to be your big shepherd. Why? No one is to be that except for God. And so the shepherd boy writes a psalm, a prayer for his people. And he says, here's how it is to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is a very important prayer, and it harks all the way back to the story of Cain and Abel. This is the prayer he writes for the people. He writes a prayer that says, Anthony Albanese is not to be your shepherd. The economy is not to be your shepherd. Your insurance, your money, your family, your prosperity, none of these things are to be your shepherd. The Lord, only the Lord. And not even me, the king, David, I'm not to be your shepherd. I don't want that. That belongs to who? To God. And what's the most important word in this entire psalm? There is an important word. I mean, there's lots, but this is the most important word. You know what it is? It's in capitals. Yes, Glenn, it's the Lord. It's in capitals. I didn't do it like that. That's how it's written in your Bibles. If you open up Psalm 23, it says, Lord in capitals. Why is that? Because that is the Hebrew word Yahweh. I am. And whenever you see that word in a modern Bible translation, the translators write it in capitals. They write, the Lord in capitals. And so this is the most important word in Psalm 23, the Lord. The Lord is the focus of this whole thing. And this is what King David wanted to say. He wanted to say, no, not me, not a king, not a general, not a politician, not a city builder. Your leader, the one who you turn to for goodness, because that's what a shepherd is, that has to be God. Would you say it with me? Psalm 23, verse 1. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, notice the second bit. The source of my goodness, the center of everything, is not to be anything other than the one who made me, the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The second bit says, I shall not want. And that reminds me of the story of Cain. What was Cain's name? What did it mean? Greedy, possessor, wanter. Cain lived in a world of want. He always wanted. He wanted more. He wanted more stuff and more fields and more income, more land, more security, more riches, more walls, more cities, more stuff to protect him against hard times. Cain's way is the way of want. And I think that our modern world is the world of Cain. I think right there on page 4 of the Bible, we have the modern world, in a nutshell, what we have is materialism. Cain was the first materialist. He was the first consumerist. And our modern world is that world. It's a world of want. Australians are richer than any human beings have ever been in history. The way that we live in an average day is better than the king of ancient Babylon. We have more than ever before, and yet it's a world of competition and a world of greed. It's a world of take, take, take and get, get, get. It's a world of comparing with the Joneses and the grass is always greener. It's a world of want. We've got more than ever before, and yet people are not happy and not satisfied. And that is because we live the way of Cain. We live in a way where we think that the source of goodness is down here, is something we can get or perfect or make or create, or that it's a technique. And we think that, you know, if we just get the perfect home, the perfect holiday, the perfect family, the perfect job, then we'll be satisfied. And what happens when we get that stuff? We want more. So, the prayer says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's because if you make anything else in your life the source of goodness, anything else, you'll always want more. It'll never satisfy. Martin Luther says, your God is whatever you turn to for security and comfort, whatever you think of as the source of goodness, that's your God, that's your shepherd. And if it's not the Lord, it just doesn't satisfy, and so you want and want and want and want. I read a quote recently that said, in a society that has given up on the idea of the transcendent, that's complicated, isn't it? Transcendent means there's more to life, that there's something up there, that there's meaning. A culture that has given up on the idea of the transcendent tries to make everything else transcendent. In other words, if we give up on the idea that there's a shepherd, a divine lover, a God, who is transcendent, bigger and greater, then we start to make other things the meaning. So we make pleasure the meaning, or money the meaning, or sex the meaning, or politics the meaning. This is why people are so rabid about politics these days, because they've given up on the idea of God, and all of a sudden our political parties have become that to which we look for goodness and transcendence and meaning to solve the problems. And hear me clearly, they won't. I'm not against your politics, whatever it might be, or I might be, I don't know. But I know this, your politics and my politics won't solve the problem with humanity. Our politics is not our shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, and this is really important. So the Bible translations, we mostly know the King James from the year 1611. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The modern translation that we mostly use says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And the Good News Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Another way to say it is, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. You see, when you make the Lord your shepherd, then you live the life of Abel, and you're not competing and trying to make everything else the source of goodness in your life, but you're relying instead on God. Now, this has been a very strange week for me. I have been all over the place this week. I have eaten and sat with so many people, it's just quite confusing sometimes for me, because I've sat with rich people who own a second house, but then later in the week, I sat with someone out of prison, and I sat and ate with our street people at the Daily Bread, and I noticed something very interesting. Going to the homes of rich, middle-class, well-off people, and then sitting with my street people friends here at St. Luke's, I noticed something interesting. It doesn't seem to matter whether you have a lot or a little. Human beings are pretty good at want. At want. Wanting, 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 wanting. And I noticed pretty, well, I think of them as rich because they own more than one house. But really, if you own a house at all, you're rich in our world context. But I noticed the rich people seemed to want. They wanted. They wanted more. They weren't satisfied. They were worried about protecting what they had. They were worried about the future. They were worried about, you know, what happens if the economy tanks and look at the price of things. And they were worried, even though they had more than you can ever imagine. They were in want. That's what I noticed. I'm not saying all rich people are like that. And a lot of you aren't living in want. But I noticed this. And then I sat with a particular homeless person this week. And this person just is not in want. This person is satisfied with their lot. And I asked her a few questions and dug into that, and she has a deep and profound faith. And so she knows that her future isn't determined by what she's got or what she gets or what she gathers or how much she has. And she's not anxious about it because the Lord is her shepherd. So let's get this finished. What I want to say simply is this. Trust God, the good shepherd who is Jesus, and then you don't live in want. Martin Luther says in Psalm 23, King David is not always happy, but he is not controlled by his feelings. He holds to God's promise and thinks, no matter what happens, this is still the comfort of my heart, that I have a gracious, merciful Lord who is my shepherd, whose word and promise strengthen and comfort me. That is all I need. I mean, when you sit in the hands of God, that is all you need. And Luther says, sometimes happy, sometimes sad, sometimes full, sometimes empty. But he says, no matter what happens, this is still the comfort of my heart. The Lord is my shepherd. That's enough. And he's got me. In the Bible, Paul says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Ooh, the secret. He says, I've learned the secret. The secret of contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret. It's Jesus. So, the source of goodness is God. The Lord is the source of goodness. When we rest in that, when we trust in that, then we do not want, because God is enough. Jesus is enough. Jesus is more than enough. And the secret is not how good you are. It's not, if I'm really good, then I won't want. The secret is not how religious you are. If I'm really religious, then I will not be in want. The secret is not how perfect your life, or how well you've performed, or how wise you got. The secret is trust that the Lord is your shepherd. And then you will be trusting Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the way of the shepherd started by Abel. Because Jesus is like the shepherd. He's not a politician. He's not a king who's going to tax you out of existence. He's not a slave master who's going to require your death. Jesus is a shepherd. So, I shall not want. And so I'm going to finish by asking you to say with me the words. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.